Okay, so John asked me to do the comparison between the two regulatory systems in E. coli, which somewhat have a similar functions, but then fulfillment of how they deal with these functions is different. So I will try to look at these differences, and I hope that you won't get totally confused with the details. Okay, so Hanna was talking about the sigma-32 transcription factor and its regulation by the heat shock. In fact, in E. coli, there are multiple sigma factors. There are seven different species of sigma factors, all of which compete for free core RNA polymerase. And when bound to it, they drug it to promoter specific for the sigma factor to activate gene transcription. And altering the relative levels of the sigma factors, E. coli alters transcription from different sets of genes. Sigma-70 is a housekeeping sigma factor. It's responsible for production of proteins which perform cellular growth and division, the crucial things for E. coli. And the sigma-32 as well as sigma-E are the alternative sigma which carry out other functions. So E. coli is a gram-negative bacteria, which means that it consists of two major compartments: periplasmic compartment and cytoplasmic compartment, which are separated by the inner membrane. And the conditions in the two compartments are dramatically different. All transcription and translation takes place in the cytoplasm, and cytoplasm is energy-rich and reducing. At the same time, periplasmic compartment is low in energy and is oxidizing and has some communication with the outer cellular space. That's why perhaps it's not surprising that stress in the cytoplasm and in the periplasm sensed through the different pathways. So sigma-32 is responsible for sensing protein unfolding in the cytoplasm, and its regular neighbors fight protein unfolding and impose a negative feedback loop on them. At the same time, sigma-E is activated by the stress coming from the periplasmic space, and then its regulon members go back into the periplasm and fight stress consequences in the periplasm. So what do we know about the stress? For sigma-32, we know that stress signal is the unfolded proteins, at least in part. And that it produces heat shock proteins, proteases, and chaperones, which either degrade or refold unfolded proteins. What do we know about the stress signal coming from the periplasmic space? Or what do we know about the function of sigma-E, what the regular members do in the periplasmic space? Some of the members of sigma-E regulon encode proteases, which go into the periplasmic space and degrade proteins there. Some of them include chaperones, which assist in protein folding in the periplasmic space. So it's basically the same function as for sigma-32. In addition, some members of the sigma-E regulon are involved in remodeling outer membrane. So the major difference between the two sigma factors is that they are localized in the different compartments, or that the signal inducing is localized in different compartments. While sigma-32 and its inducing signal are in the same compartment, the signal which induces sigma-E activity and sigma-E-dependent transcription in the cytoplasm is originated in the periplasmic space. So what do we know about stress, which causes induction of sigma-E? Much less is known about sigma-E regulation and stress compared to sigma-32. We know that overexpression of outer membrane porins induces sigma-E activity. So what are these outer membrane porins? These are proteins which have a very complicated maturation pathway in the periplasm and are inserted into the outer membrane as a trimers to form pores for communication with the extracellular space. And this maturation pathway is pretty complicated, so it requires assistance of the chaperones, members of the sigma-E regulon. So we We know that part of the signal which activates sigma E, we have experimental evidences for this, comes from the immature species of outer membrane porins. They can directly induce sigma E activity. Now, how is heat shock affecting the system? We know that heat shock also induces sigma E activity. But how it does this and what is the signal, we don't know. It could do so via titration of chaperones away from unfolded outer membrane porins and thus increasing the signal coming from out of the porins. It can do that through some other mechanism, and there could be multiple steps signaling to activate sigma E activity. And most likely that there are multiple sigma E inducing signals coming from the periplasmic space. So the crucial thing here compared to sigma 32 is how is the signal activating sigma E activity transmitted through the inner membrane. So these are the details. There is an inner membrane transmembrane protein which acts as an anti-sigma factor. It can bind sigma E with a cytoplasmic domain and withhold it from transcription from RNA polymerase. RCE is degraded in the stress-dependent fashion and releases sigma E to go into the cytoplasm and activate transcription. And we know that one of the sensors is this protease, which can directly sense outer membrane porins unfolded and activate RCE degradation. However, there is another negative regulator of sigma E activity, a protein which is located in the periplasmic space. And it can bind RCE to its periplasmic domain. One of the models suggests that RCEB, in fact, could be titrated away with outer membrane porins or with unfolded proteins, and thus change sigma E activity, either by changing its affinity for RCE or protecting it from degradation. So it's likely that in case of sigma E, there are multiple sensors of the stress. Not only stress signals, but sensors too. So both sigma 32 and sigma E, as Hannah was talking about it, regulation depends on how is the level of the sigma factors regulated through synthesis and degradation, and how is the activity of two factors regulated. So I want to compare all strategies for these two proteins. So synthesis rate of sigma factor is determined by its transcription and translation rate. So as Hannah said, sigma 32 gene is transcribed from sigma 70 dependent promoter, which shouldn't be sensitive to the changes imposed by the heat shock. It should be pretty much constant. On the contrary to that, sigma E gene is transcribed from the sigma E dependent promoter. And negative regulators, about which I was talking before, are co-transcribed with it simultaneously. So in this way, sigma E activity or amount of free sigma E can produce both sigma E and RCE. So there is a complex regulation of transcription, which is secondary to changes in sigma E activity. Now, on the translational level, Hannah was talking about this feed-forward loop when mRNA structure melts upon temperature heat shock and translation rate increases. We don't know, and it's likely there is no such a system for sigma E regulation. So, not surprisingly, heat shock acts on these levels. And this is a fast response, and this is somewhat slower response because first sigma E activity is changed, and then levels of the proteins can change. So now degradation. Again, as Hannah was talking, sigma 32 is rapidly degraded at 30 degrees. And then stabilization of sigma 32 causes fast increase in the sigma 32 level. Sigma E is not degraded. Therefore, heat shock employs this strategy to upregulate sigma 32 levels. So is a summary of what do we know about the levels and how are they regulated for these two sigma factors. We have tens of molecules per cell for sigma 32 and thousands of molecules per cell for sigma E. Transcription of sigma 32 doesn't seem to be regulated, although there is a complex transcription regulation for sigma E. Translation of sigma 32 is affected by the heat shock, though it doesn't seem to have a major effect on sigma E. And sigma 32 is regulated through stabilization of degradation, while sigma E is not degraded. So regulation of the level is very, very different for these two proteins. And generally, these patterns of the regulation can provide very fast changes in the levels of sigma 32, which is not the case for sigma E. Sigma E levels would change slowly. Okay, so the second thing is regulation of activity. And regulation of activity is somewhat similar in a way for both of the sigma factors. Sigma 32 is titrated away from protease by the chaperone, while sigma E is titrated away from the RNA polymerase by the anti-sigma factor. However, relief of this titration away is different for both of these proteins. Unfolded proteins titrate chaperones and activate sigma 32 activity, while for sigma E, it's the degradation which senses the stress in the periplasm, which relieves sigma E activity. And in fact, this could be a very fast response, changing the activity for sigma E, because that gas is probably in excess, and all it has to do is just to sense the stress. And RCA, if it is very rapidly degraded, can relieve sigma E to go into the cytoplasm very fast. And that's what is employed by the heat shock, this mechanism. And also, sigma E activity could be modulated by the changes in the affinity, though we think it's not very likely looking at the structures of the proteins. So what are the kinetics of the response to the heat shock for sigma 32 and for sigma E? They are very, very different. This is in red, this is a change in the activity of the protein in terms of its capability of synthesizing its own regulon. And upon the temperature transition from 30 to 43 degrees for sigma 32, its activity goes very rapidly up within 5 minutes and then comes down and reaches a new steady state. For sigma E, activity increases slowly and it goes up only about 2.5 fold and stays at the same level. There is no adaptation phase. And then this is the change in the relative level of sigma 32. It's not the activity, it's the total amount of proteins which are balanced by the chaperones. So as you see for sigma 32, it's the amount of protein which changes dramatically. And activity is secondary to that. And in case of sigma E, the level of, unfortunately I don't have the data, but the level of the protein would also change, but it would slowly change and slowly reach the new steady state. So it's again, it's different. So the regulation of sigma 32 and sigma activity is very different. Why? They primarily perform the same functions. They remove unfolded proteins or they refold proteins in the cytoplasm and the periplasm. Well, the first thing is because the compartmentalization of the inducing signal is very different, and this could be a crucial impact on the overall regulation. Well, second, in fact, the function of sigma 32 and sigma E regulon might be somewhat different because sigma E is also involved into some housekeeping functions of remodeling the outer membrane space and proper folding. So in the end, heat shock could be not that much of a stress in this sense for sigma E, and that's why activity is induced, doesn't have to be induced so rapidly as for sigma 32. And the last speculation is that in fact, the regulations are so different because they took different evolutionary pathways, and even though both of them could be very fast, because of the history, they just took a different different pathway. However, although these regulations are very different, the basic logic of the regulation is pretty much the same. And I just copied this picture from HANA, where you have a plant, sensor, computer, and actuator. And it's the same logic for sigma E regulation as well. It has a transcription, which depends on the amount of free sigma E. It has the plant, which needs to refold unfolded proteins in the periplasm and do all these other functions. And then there is a sensor of the unfolded proteins, which is the guess the protease, which degrades RCA and releases sigma E. So it's pretty much universal in this structure. However, for sigma E, it could be a little bit more complicated. And it's likely to be more complicated because there are multiple functions in the periplasm which it has to perform. And there could be multiple sensors. And yet all of them converge to this release of the sigma E factor and production of the proteins which deal with the stress. So only part of these functions could be induced by the required by the heat shock, and others are needed there all the time. So the picture could get a little bit more complicated. And it's really hard to study it biologically and to understand what is really happening and what is taking place. So to understand the regulation, first of all, we need the experimental work to find the players. Then it's important to think about the functions. What are the functions of this system? What does it do? What it is required for? And then a mathematical analysis and doing some models to verify preliminary models and to indicate missing components. And we are doing this thing on the simple level in our lab, but the more complicated the system gets, the more comprehensive tools it would require. And then this thing, it would be really interesting to understand how is the regulation connected not only with the function, but also with evolution. And these are all the tools which Hannah and Mustafa are planning to develop and to look at. So in the end, I just wanted to acknowledge Carol Gross, who has been working on the sigma E, sigma 32 regulation in the lab, and Christoph Herrmann and Eric Gisbert for looking at sigma 32 regulation. And Sarah Aitz, a former postdoc in the lab, who is now PI in Penn State. Ben Alba and Virgil Rodios, who are working on sigma E regulation in our lab. Okay.
Any questions for Arena?
There's no feedback loop.
There is a feedback loop. And there are probably more feedback loop, but at least one of them. It's it's in the very beginning and it's very basic.
I'll let you find it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sorry for that.
Right.
So this is the primary feedback loop. If you do not provide enough family members to deal with the stress, stress is not going to go away. But you will have adaptation of the stress as the members of the regulons are produced and are dealing with stress. So it's all that's where.
And because the feedback is on a translational level, it's slower to react.
So in this way, in this way, feedback is not on the translational level, and feedback on the transcription level is very slow. Here, feedback hits on changes in activity. And change in activity happens through degradation of the factor which titrates away the sigma factor. So it's also very rapid, but it could be happening not through the change in the levels, but through the change in the activity, availability of the sigma factor. And it's the degradation rate, which is very sensitive to the stress signal.
Okay.